With you some of the learnings that I have enjoyed. Annie and Jeff Dieselberg needed to create a business, Nightlight, to provide alternate jobs for women trafficked in brothels in Bangkok, Thailand. I met the 80 women who were working there while I was there, and you can see them in some of them in the picture on the left. They were making beautiful jewelry and took great pride in their work. They sell it online and also in a store in California and another one in Australia. They were rescued from a life they had not chosen. Some participated in prevention education. They created plays and went to small villages to educate the local farmers. Do not believe the rich men who come telling you that they have wonderful jobs in the city for your beautiful daughters. It's not the job you would want them to have. Nowadays, Annie works with more and more women from Africa and the Middle Eastern countries. They work with women helping them get passports and return home whenever possible. Yes, many are Buddhists, animists, and other religions. And yes, they have group sessions and counseling and Bible studies, and no one is forced to attend. When I arrived, I saw the largest rice pot I've ever seen. Several women were preparing lunch for us, the 80 employees and their children and caregivers. Yes, the women come with children, so they started a childcare center as well. I learned that when the girls are taken on these false pretenses, they soon learn what they must do. They are punished, beaten, starved, and ostracized, forced to do what they are told. They are not given birth control in the beginning and soon become pregnant. Their first child is taken away to be cared for while they are working. Then the women are threatened with maltreatment of their infants and children, so they can be enslaved into doing whatever is asked of them. Karen Smith and psychologist Kit Ripley work with trafficked teenagers in Chiang Mai. They met with the group of girls presently living there. They made us cookies. They had been rescued from local brothels by the police working with Karen and Kit. And you have a picture of them here, so a few of them. They provide housing, counseling, psychological care, education, job training, referral to local resources for further education and health care. They assist those able to return home again, where that is possible. Many are no longer welcome back in their families and villages. We traveled further north to meet Kim Brown. She's a nurse, another American Baptist global servant missionary. When she arrived there over 25 years ago, she rescued young women from the streets dying of AIDS. Not only did she begin a much-needed hospice, calling it the House of Love, but she soon discovered that she was also running an orphanage for the children who came with her new patients. In those days, no treatment was available, and the women died. At least they could be safe, fed, cared for, and found comfort in knowing that their children were being taken care of. The hospice grew in numbers of people it served. The population is much smaller nowadays since treatment is available. She helps women get the treatment needed, find jobs, housing, and local resources. Women are treated and can find work in the villages. She now ministers to those with disabilities that no one else is caring for. We met several residents with serious needs who were lovingly cared for and schooled. She also has a strong Head Start program in the urban slums and the poor villages. After 32 years, she will soon be retiring. Further north, we met Mike and Becky Mann, who learned that the way to get a family out of poverty in Thailand was by enabling them to grow coffee. Some of their coffee is sold in Starbucks. In the prior time of over 20 years, they had laid over 21 miles of pipes for clean water and did funding raised to send students to school. They also raised funds for healthcare centers. It was an administrative nightmare, they shared with us, as we gazed on the wall that had pictures of children with ribbons going to the adults who were sponsoring them. It was very difficult to have the children write the letters, get them translated, get them to the people, and then translate the letters that came back. Now, instead, they grind coffee, and we were the beneficiaries of various flavors and types. And now, Starbucks will occasionally donate the proceeds from a group of stores for a day, and that would be enough to build a school or a health center. In Malaysia and Thailand, we met with local leaders and talked about their needs. And then we met with the High Commissioner for Refugees of the United Nations to delineate local needs and lend support. I often traveled with the American Baptist Church's USA General Secretary, Reverend Roy Medley, who lives in Freehold and was a speaker at one of our Mosaic closing ceremony. He's now retired also. In one Muslim community in the Republic of Georgia, we were told of how their minaret had been destroyed. Local folk and the Baptist bishop and Christians from Tbilisi stood in solidarity with their Muslim neighbors. They wrote to the government condemning such action. A local Peace Corps worker helped with interpreting some of the correspondence to the government and from the American Baptist leaders in the U.S., and helped the local folk draft correspondence to their officials. It took a while, and the issue was resolved. They were given some vague explanation of why the soldiers had come and destroyed their minaret. They were told that it had been imported. Now, no minarets are produced in the Republic of Georgia, so they did import it. And the government was concerned that it had not passed their building inspection codes. They were compensated for their loss and could purchase another minaret. Now, the Baptist bishop and other clergy stand in solidarity at the border of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, that regions of the Republic of Georgia, to protest the border creeping into the Republic of Georgia, giving more land to the neighboring Russia. You see, 20% of the Republic of Georgia was occupied illegally by Russians after a brief but intense war in 2008. A wire fence border was placed there by Russia, obstructing the locals from crossing the border to visit family, friends, to farm, or even to put flowers on family graves. And the fence would creep further into the local farms in the Republic of Georgia, giving more land to Russia. It would be stopped only when someone, unarmed, stood watch 24 hours a day to be sure the wire fence was not moved. Baptists went to stand in solidarity and to lend their moral support to the locals, some Christian but most Muslim. While in Beirut, Lebanon, I learned about how the maids of Beirut were abused financially and almost made to work like slaves. Their employers insisted on holding their passports. They worked long hours. Some were paid smaller amounts than promised. Some had room and board charges taken from their salaries that seriously reduced their wages. When they wanted to leave such circumstances, they found that they could not. Some left even without their passports. They were arrested and imprisoned. Our missionary there would visit them in prison with food and hygiene kits. It happened at least weekly and became part of the missionary's routine. She found legal help for the maids as well as items to meet their immediate needs. In Arizona, I joined other American Baptist women and visited one of the American Baptist Home Mission Community Outreach Centers, which address local needs of children and families. We volunteered for a project at one of the centers and found ourselves knee deep in washing blinds. I enjoyed talking to the youth and the adults in the computer center as they prepared resumes and job applications. The American Baptist support is a reality in 25 such centers in the United States and Puerto Rico currently. In Rainbow Acres, Arizona, we spent the day in a community of challenged adults. They call themselves ranchers. It was delightful conversing and listening as they gave us a tour of their rooms and their homes and told us about the work that the ranchers would be attending. And they also told me about the service on Sunday. The first time a new pastor arrived, he really was surprised. They had talked with great excitement about the ranchers coming to worship, and he didn't know what that meant. Now, being with the Hopi and the Navajo in the American Southwest was amazing. We visited homes of the disabled and the challenged with the local missionaries who actually cared for them and brought them many things. We were also invited into the sweat lodge and listened to the stories of the first people. And I loved hearing the stories about the weddings and the celebrations. My former church, the First Baptist Church of Trenton, truly benefited from the American Baptist Women Ministry White Cross giving. Our closets were full of supplies. They sent stamps, paper goods for potlucks, and craft material for Sunday school and youth projects. It was an abundant supply, saving the church many local dollars. Early in my ministry there, I sent out a need help article to local churches and asked them for help with ESL, English as a Second Language, teachers and tutors, Sunday school teachers, food and used clothing. We had grown from 5 in Sunday school on a good Sunday to 35 in one Sunday, and that continued. Need help came from my grandson, Montana. He was about 2, and he would stand in the middle of a room and sweetly say, "Need help." Everybody would jump up and help him, whether that was to tie his shoe or finish a puzzle. Well, I stand before you and say, "Need help," I said in this article. It resulted in volunteers to help on Sundays as well as Saturdays for our youth ESL class and Monday ESL classes, as well as math and science teachers and music teachers. One day, I found somebody who would willingly come and donate some time teaching people how to play the drums. So I did an open invitation. Over 20 people showed up. A great surprise to this teacher. We were also able to provide guitar lessons. And we created a computer lab with donated computers and things. The youth loved to sing. And so they created a youth choir, and I included them in worship every Sunday. They would sing. I also invited them, and they loved to serve as ushers, hand out bulletins, collect the offering. They came during the week to practice on the piano and rehearse for Sundays. That was in addition to the food pantry and the clothing closet. Folks came to church early Sunday mornings so they could go shopping before church. We are one of the 284 American Baptist churches in New Jersey, over 5,800 American Baptist churches in the U.S. That's about 1.5 million Baptists, one-tenth the size of the Southern Baptist denomination. With so many other Baptists worldwide, we work collaboratively with the, in the World Baptist Alliance. The ABC USA support the staff, the volunteers, local mission, as well as international ministries. The mission in the United States, it creates and builds ministries that help meet human needs, connecting partners, cultivating leaders, and change that allows for healing communities. They do this by focusing on people with disabilities, disaster response, prison reentry and aftercare, immigration and refugee resettlement, and respond to families and children in poverty or those with other needs. They promote socially responsible investing, shaping a global economy built on justice and sustainability through the use of investor influence to transform the corporate world. They also support the American Baptist Personnel Service, a computer-based data storage and retrieval system that produces personnel policy profiles to connect potential clergy with congregations. This is in addition to supporting education, scholarships, and financial aid for members and local churches. Home and international mission supports the Judson Press, a publishing house. International Ministries is 205 years old. It was started by Adoniram and Ann Judson, the first missionaries. They began their mission, their ministry in the Karen state in Burma. Adoniram translated the New Testament into the local language. Many became Christians, and that's why the Karen folk from Burma who came to Trenton and Malaysia and the refugee camps in Thailand wanted to be part of our American Baptist Church here. They arrived one Sunday with a few families, and then it grew to 8 families, and then it grew, I think the total was like 34 families among our congregation, so they equaled and exceeded the number in the congregation. It was wonderful. But that made us very connected to this group of refugees, and many folks who came were also Buddhist, and some who were from the Kachin state were Roman Catholic. All were welcome. Our services were for everyone. An international ministry currently has 132 global servants, missionaries, working cross-culturally to invite people to become disciples and to proclaim God's reign of justice, peace, and abundant life for all creation. The core values are faith, service, community, and they focus their work on immigrants, refugees, peace, justice, abolition of trafficking in persons, and global slavery, education, economic development, health, and wellness. I've been part of conflict resolution training and peace tours. Colleagues have been observers on peacekeeping teams that witness elections or other troubling transitions and situations. I wanted to share how the American Baptists see and live out their mission, their purpose: loving kindness, seeking justice, and walking humbly with our God. These are examples of how we are doing just that. Now, I know here at the Meeting House, you are deeply involved in social justice issues. You join the effort. Immigration and refugee resettlement is a UUA focus. Much is being done. Be part of helping the situation. Work with the UU Faith Action. Think globally, work locally. CASA and Freehold needs help. Lunch Break and Red Bank always needs volunteers. Do what you can. Learn to do good, work for justice, help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless, Isaiah tells us. Amen.